Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to a podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we're going to talk about the Stanford Raw murders. Anything about that, Brandy?
Stanford, Connecticut has all of my favorite talk shows.
Why is that? What talk shows are
there? Oh my God. Maury is out of Stanford, Connecticut. Steve Wilkos is out of Stanford, Connecticut. Jerry Springer was at Stanford, Connecticut. All the greats are filmed in Stanford.
You know what else comes out of Stanford, Connecticut? That is the headquarters for the WWE. So Vince McMahon, really? Stanford, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. There must be Stanford.
Some kind of, they might just get a better job deal on taxes or something, you think?
Yeah, and it's close to New York.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't want to be there if you had a bra, Brandy.
As I usually do.
Because in the late 1960s, 5 African-American women were brutally strangled by their own bras in Stanford, Connecticut. The case remains unsolved to this day. And
I'm strangled by my own bra every day.
And we're going to talk about this story. But first, I want to remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast, and sometimes we use adult language. So if that offends you, you should run home, you little bitch. What do you even got, Brandy?
That's some strong words from you. Strong words from a guy who wears his hat backwards, because that's what the kids do.
Well, you know. You're not cool like me.
I'm not cool, but that's a lot of smack talk for someone that's in bed by 9.
I was up at
9:30 last night because I watched a movie.
Did you watch the whole movie or just 10 minutes of it?
No, I got the whole movie this time. I was struggling at the end. But Sing Street?
Nope.
It's 2016. These kids form a band in Dublin. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Sounds like a what the fuck theater if I've ever heard of one, Brandy.
I'm gonna take your word for that.
Well, it was good. You just check it out. Sing Street. Oh, I want to also remind everyone that we have a sponsor this week. And to meet all your home decor needs, please visit Black Cat and Me at Etsy.com. If you use code DWEEB15, you know what happens, Brandy? Not a damn thing.
You get 15% off.
Oh, yeah, you get 15% off. That's DWEEB15, 15% off.
Not a damn thing. Then why would you put it in?
Well, we like to keep our sponsors happy.
See, it's a trial run, and if enough people put in Dweeb 15, then we'll actually get the sponsorship. See, this is just a dry run.
You actually do get 15% off. I just thought that was funny to say, but maybe our sponsors would not like us jousting about when we discuss their product.
then they're on. I mean, the wrong
we've podcast. Got a waiting list. We've got a waiting list for people who want to be sponsors on this show. So you know, they don't want if they don't like it. That's how it rolls.
A waiting list. Right?
Yeah. Last one we had was cruise line, Cunard Cruise Line, back in about 7 years ago. I think they paid us though. So
who they I've never even heard of Cunard Cruise Line. So
it's like Larry Air. That's what it is. And I need everybody to get that reference.
Larry Air.
Remember, we was all screwed up. We were all afraid we'd screw it up, so we had to have Brandy read it. It was like it was like $700 or something. We're like, all right, we have to actually do this, because you know we had Bob Mears and Son, and they were cool, but they knew what the podcast was about, so they let us just goof on him and stuff. But
you have to get the show. I think you have to get it in order, I think, to be it. And Black Cat.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm not sure. Cunard Cruise Lines really got it, but okay.
Larry Air.
And what we should mention that the Colonel will not be with us today, as he is on a mission in northern Vietnam. So
the west side of Cincinnati is not northern Vietnam.
Well, we cannot.
He doesn't leave the west side.
I can't confirm or deny that he is in, you know, Hanoi, but he could be.
With Jane Fonda.
This is true. He could be.
He might be.
He could be, but let me guarantee you that he's not. He's on the west side of Cincinnati, where he always is. Always.
Well, we cannot confirm or deny that, Brandy. You know,
I mean, I hear the west side is the best side. That's what they say. Now, I don't know if I believe that, but
that
you know,
is that
completely untrue?
Having lived on the west side, that is untrue.
No.
I don't know how you people get anywhere. I don't understand your fucking roads over there. You can tell when you get to the west side because there aren't road signs. And shit, dog legs and peg legs and, you know, Coleraine Avenue. You got to follow Coleraine Avenue for 20 miles. Right. Well, Coleraine Avenue, dog legs 8 times. And you got to take a different connector. Fuck the west side. West side is bullshit.
It is pretty hard to get.
I feel like Chuck never leaves. Take Brandy on location to the west side.
Fuck no. That's why Chuck never leaves. He can't find his way out.
Someone will say, "Where is it?" They're like, "It's on Coleraine." You're like, "Oh, okay. That could be between here and the moon."
Are you just, you know, you take
Coleraine Avenue goes to Florida.
Coleraine Avenue is actually the road that goes through the castle.
You take Glenway Avenue to River Road. I lived over for 7 years, and I don't think I've ever been on River Road. But, I lived over like 7 years.
Spent too much time on River Road. River Road is a fucking clusterfuck because it's on the west side.
Well, if Chuck got out,
love to our west side listeners, all two of them probably. I don't know.
Kimberly Smith is from the west side.
Is she?
I think there's a few. But anyway, he is not with us today because he is looking for Charlie. Maybe he is looking for Charlie in North Vietnam. Maybe he's looking for Charlie on the west side.
In Kansas City? Yeah.
It's kind of like, where's Waldo? Where's Charlie? It's the same kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
There's Charlie. I'm sure there's Charlie on the west side, too.
Kilroy.
I'm sure there are plenty. Chuck could be a Charlie on the west side.
He's looking for himself? Hopefully he's found himself. Right. That's what he needs in life. Chuck needs to find himself.
No, Chuck apparently did not think we was recording today because, you know, it's a Sunday, it's at 10 o'clock, so he apparently didn't think we was recording.
Well, Tim, because we don't ever, same don't time ever for do. 5 years.
The Colonel is a fancy man, and he has sometimes other things that require his attention. Can't hate on a man.
He's a fancy man.
I mean,
he is a fancy man.
On Sunday, the Skechers store opens up. He's got to go and get the early deals.
He's got to get his inserts.
That's right.
I think You know, he's the reason why DSW went out of business. It's don't ask him about it because it's a 2 hour story.
Is that a delicate subject?
You just don't want to ask him about that. But anyway, let me introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, a heartwarming story about Brandy is the time when she beat up her prom date in high school. But we won't go there.
Oh, well, I felt like we just did.
Well, see, that's a tease, Brandy. In the business, we call that a tease.
Believe it. My bad.
With a Z. It's got a Z at the end of it because we're hip, right? Like the kids.
Yeah.
Like we wear our hats backwards and stuff. Yeah. 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 We're hip.
Don't say we. Just one of us is hip with the kids.
Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
I'm okay, Timmy. I got my hair cut and I got a new tattoo. And so, I mean, I'm just rocking and rolling.
Well, I like your haircut.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's fine.
It looks good.
What was your tattoo?
It's a hummingbird on my leg, a big one. It's very colorful. I love it.
I mean, is your leg a big one or the hummingbird a big one?
My leg is a big one, a bit like a tree trunk. So we didn't have a problem fitting an entire huge. It's more of an eagle, life size, actually.
Wait a minute. Is it a hummingbird or an eagle? There's a difference.
It's a hummingbird. And it fit on my leg because I have a regular leg. What the hell?
Do you still have the wrap on it, or has it been a few days and you don't have the wrap on it anymore?
No, I took the wrap off.
Oh, you took the wrap off.
Yeah, because I have to. So they're letting us wear shorts at work now because they have turned up the AC, whatever. It's hot.
Okay.
Okay. Because they're conserving energy.
Oh my God.
They're good corporate citizen.
Hold on. Let me just interject really quick. So we were in Target yesterday and it was hot as balls in there. And I'm like, do they have the air on? Like I'm so there you go. I did. That's crazy.
There you go.
Goddamn.
Well, it is.
We went to Dunkin' Donuts yesterday, and they were closed because they didn't have any AC.
Wow.
So apparently they have a different philosophy than Target. Target is a better corporate citizen than Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't know, man. I need my air conditioner.
We don't have donuts. We don't really have fresh donuts. So, I mean, we kind of sit there.
You have popcorn, though. That popcorn's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
I will say.
So we have anyway, we can wear shorts. They've decided we can wear shorts. And so so me walking around this thing, it got real bloody real quick. And so I waited about a day and it was like, I got to go to work. I don't want people seeing it all gross and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I took it off I took it off probably sooner than I should have.
Yeah.
But I've kept lotion on it. It's fine. Yeah, I love it. It's amazing.
I had a friend I grew up with. And one day... We were at a, you know, they had like a, I think it was called Foodland, but, you know, it was a grocery store. And they had peat moss outside stacked up, you know. And he takes a run to jump over the peat moss, thinking there were more peat moss behind it. But there wasn't. So he broke his arm, broke his shoulder. And he gets.
What kind of story is this?
We had to take him to the emergency room. Like it is like 2 o'clock in the morning when he decided to do this. So
he always dumb shit at early times in the day.
Yeah. Well, you know, he had like a half a beer or something and he was acting up, but he got a cast on his arm. And, about 3 days later, we were playing football, and he decided that the cast interfered with his ability to play football. Mm. So he just ripped it off.
Just take it off. That's right. Mm.
never went back to the doctor. So I saw him right before the holidays last year.
And his arm looks like Stretch Armstrong. It's just all hanging out.
Oh, is this wither? He's got a little arm now. Oh, that's sad. He's got a little arm now. First of all, what were you doing out at 2 in the morning?
No, you know.
Yeah, but like what are you doing out at 2 in the morning? There's nothing open at 2 in the morning but legs and White Castle, and you know that. And I don't understand what you're doing.
We didn't even have White Castle.
You were a ne'er-do-well. Well, he was. You were in that little podunk place.
But now he's got a withered arm. It's like sad.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody. Forget it. So everything's good. I'm fine. It's all fine. Good. And I'm just really excited to be able to record with mainly adults today. I'm very pumped about that. So,
well, I know you.
That remains to be seen, Brandy. But you know, we'll give the old college try.
Does it? Does it though? Does it remain to be seen? We're all here on time.
That's on a Sunday at 10 o'clock.
On a Sunday at 10 o'clock. Because surprise, surprise, we're going to record. Chuck is the weak link. Chuck is the weakest link.
I will
he
say
might
this.
Be the missing link.
I found this out about Chuck and I needed to share it. Did you both know that Chuck's penis is in the Guinness Book of World Records? It was until the librarian asked him to remove it.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. That was gross. It made me think about that for a second. And now I have to drown myself. But so let's ask though. I mean,
I'm
gonna
check
I'm
and see
fine,
if chuckspenis.com is a website. Maybe we should buy that.
I don't want that. That could, it's probably already taken anyway. But.
Well, he has his own what is the things
his book?
You pay to No, when the site's
he's self-published. No, oh, OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, yeah. He's on OnlyFans.
His OnlyFans.
He's on OnlyFans.
I will say.
So here's the thing.
Chuckspenis.com is available.
Look, Chuck's not even here. He's dead to us right now. He can't even be bothered to show up at the appropriate time that we've had for 5 years. So, let's
He is in NAM.
He's indisposed.
He is the weakest link.
Or the
he's taking
link.
Care of national security business for the homeland.
Yes.
There's no national security on the west side.
He's vaping while he's there.
I'm sure. No doubt. Snoop Dogg is blowing it up over there.
He's interrogating Charlie while he's vaping.
I mean, I don't know if everyone on the west side has an AR-15, but I bet it's at least 8 out of 10 people.
You
I'm
know what?
Guess.
Home protection.
That's right.
Thad,
that's what it is.
Thad, when we worked together, all three worked together, Chuck would constantly get in trouble for vaping in his office. And you would open his door. I mean, it was like opening the crypt on like a horror movie with all the smoke comes out.
Wow.
And he would argue till he was blue in the face that what was his argument?
Oh, it was his
aromatherapy.
His aromatherapy. That's what it was. Because he had an oil diffuser.
As someone who works in HR for a very large corporation, as Brandy does too, but as someone who works in HR for a large corporation, all I can think of, did you all not have HR when you all worked together? Did that not exist at the county?
So
it's a story. It's a long story.
Yeah, that's one day we'll interview. We'll all sit around and talk about that time. Tim, Chuck has to get out. When Chuck gets out, we can tell county stories.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we need to wait until he... Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
But they had, over the course of our time there, they were several investigations. And every investigation that came up mentioned Chuck vaping in his office.
But that wasn't nearly as bad as whatever I did. Whatever it was that I did was not nearly as bad. It was way worse.
But they always tack on. And Chuck is vaping in his
And Chuck is vaping in his office. But there's nothing that proves that.
See, this is
it's his aromatherapy.
Like Chuck's some kind of fucking criminal mastermind over here. We just can't catch him.
Was he petting
fucking
a cat
show
in his
up
chair?
And walk in there.
I feel like he may have been doing that.
I mean, it would be like on, you know, it would be like you get off the elevator and you could see.
You could smell it.
You could smell it in the smoke in his office. And then you open the door and it just like knocks you down.
Now, was he at least kind enough, though, to like,
it was like
the ones that
lounge.
Smelled good, like blueberry or vanilla or something?
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. No, they always smelled good. They always smelled good. That's how he got away with saying that. Because if it had smelled like nicotine or marijuana, he probably wouldn't have gotten away with it. So
But he has anxiety disorders. So he says
he does have the anxiety disorders.
He plays that when he says he needs an aromatherapy. And
That's how he got the window office. Well, I have seasonal affective disorder, and I need the window office. Are you fucking with me right now? You like the sun, so you want your own. What the fuck? Yeah, that was fucking
as
true.
Opposed to it's everyone else to me, who doesn't like sunlight, right? Yeah.
Right.
It's like those people who say, you know, I don't like hospitals, as opposed to everyone else in the world who just fucking love
them. Well, that's all.
Right?
Yeah. I don't do funerals. I don't like funerals. Nobody likes fucking funerals. What the fuck are you talking about? You goddamn go, because you fucking knew the motherfucker that was in the goddamn casket. Why in the fuck are you sitting there going, well, I don't really like to go to funerals? Because I do? Is that the way to pick up chicks and get free food? What the fuck?
Well, Some people go to funerals just for that.
Listen, funeral crashers, fine. I mean, around here, it doesn't even fucking matter because everybody knows everybody, so it doesn't fucking matter. But still, I don't like hospitals. Nobody gives a shit. You got to go in there. Nobody gives a fuck. Nobody gives a fuck if you don't like. I don't like having to wear shoes, but guess what? I got to fucking wear shoes. So here we are. Everybody does shit they don't like. Get the fuck over it.
That's just how it drives
you goddamn crazy.
In all seriousness, I don't like funerals either.
Nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit. Because you're either going to be in the casket or be standing outside. You need to make up your fucking mind because nobody cares if you like it or not. Nobody gives a shit.
I'm allergic to embalming fluid. It makes me break out.
Are you going down to prep the body?
No, I just the smell.
Are you
going
to go down and prep the body? They take care of that. They use, aromatherapy to get rid of that smell.
I'm just saying.
To get rid of that
smell.
I know
they do. And this is
some interesting
trivia.
Nobody likes funerals.
I don't like funerals or weddings.
Oh, here we go. I don't know what to tell
you.
Nobody does.
Weddings have wedding cake. Oh my God, wedding cake is the bomb, man. Jeez.
First of all, any excuse to dance.
I'll send a gift card if someone dies.
Well, and that's fine. That doesn't really work though. So you can
Do you send it to
a gift card for flowers? No, you send it to the funeral home, you Neanderthal. Everybody knows that.
Now that I think about it, Brandon, you didn't send me a wedding gift.
A 25.
Tim didn't send you a wedding gift?
No, you didn't, Brandy.
I didn't know you got married. What the fuck?
You got married 25 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah. I didn't get a wedding gift from you.
Well, this isn't about me. This isn't about me, Brandy. This is about you. We're talking about you.
Okay, my bad.
You know.
Sorry I didn't preemptively send you.
She doesn't read all the social cues.
No. Okay. All right, pot. Let's settle down. Because I did not preemptively buy you a wedding gift. I am so sorry.
25 years before you met me? Okay.
Exactly. As soon as I get to work, I will remedy this situation.
Get him a Target card. You get 15%.
Actually, you know what? If you could just tell them to turn on the goddamn air conditioning, that would be enough.
You know, that's right. They will not. Don't be silly. We actually had to get like these big, huge, the back room, our office was so hot. Like it was
like
just
big
gross.
Box fans
we
or something?
We had to get two of these big, huge air conditioner units.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because evidently, not only have they turned down the AC in our store or up or however you want to look at it, it doesn't work properly. Mm. So like the front of the store has no AC at all. Ugh. So we've got these big, huge units sitting in the office till they can get the parts. And you walk in that office and it's like you've opened the door to the fucking Arctic. Shit's blowing out. There's snow. There's everything else. Like, Jesus.
We went to a Reds game couple weeks ago, and they have these big fans, you know, kind of like they have at Kings Island. You can walk and stand in front of
the fans.
And so I got really hot. And so I told Leanne I was going to go stand by the fan. And you stand by these fans, and these motherfuckers come up right in front of you and stand right in front of you and between you and the fan. That is a social faux pas.
You know what? You probably had your hat on backwards. They thought you were a kid.
No! I mean, these people just stand. Like, what would motivate you to, as someone is standing in front of the fan, cooling off, for you to walk in front of them and stand in front of it? That's fucking rude.
I need cooled off first. So that would be my thing. But let's move on.
It's called main character syndrome.
The thing. It's called what?
Main character syndrome, where you think you're the only person in the world who exists. It's just
oh my God,
you.
Oh, yes.
That's a narcissist.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, narcissism. Yeah, 100%. Yep.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, quite frankly, you stand in front of those fans after you've been sweating, and after a minute, it's like, fuck, I'm cold.
Yeah.
Because all that sweat freezes. It's gross. And I'm sure it all smells very good over there. But aside from your excursion to the Reds game, let's talk about Thad. See how Thad's doing. So we can talk about these bras.
Okay. Well, before I just want to add, Thad, that's a good social comment, because people used to be at baseball games.
Oh, my God.
They would get up in between innings. Now they get up right in the middle of the play, and they stand in front of you and look around. Like,
it's anarchy. It's willy-nilly. Just shit happening at a ball game, no less. People are standing up and watching. What the fuck?
They're not watching. They're standing there looking around. It's like right in front of you. It's like, can't you wait between innings to get up and go get your lemon freeze or whatever the hell you're getting?
Yeah. Why
are you standing up right in the middle of the game, right in front of me? And then just like looking around like you just got dropped off in the middle of Manhattan looking at skyscrapers.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that was just a hot button topic that nobody meant to push. So can we finally talk about fucking Thad so we can talk about these goddamn brawls?
You know what? It's okay.
We're joined.
I'm a Gen Xer. I'm used to being ignored, so it's totally fine. Right. So Brandy's there with me. She gets it.
People not listening to you.
They don't care. Yeah,
you talk. Like, they don't care. Them. I know.
We are the transitional generation, Brandy. It was boomers, and they were like, who are these fucking, who cares?
Yeah, I don't care what you're talking about. Let's move on.
See, and there it is.
Goddamn.
Let me introduce our producer, Thad. I need an intro for him.
Think of it later.
We're going to call him Mad Thad the producer. How are you today, Thad?
I am Mad Thad. I like it. Hey, I'm doing good. As Brandy and I were talking off air a little bit, you know, the government has confirmed that there are aliens. The earth is burning. The ocean is basically a hot tub. And there are shark attacks all over Cape Cod. So things are beautiful. You know,
We did an episode on shark attacks in New Jersey. Remember? Like a long time ago.
Yeah. So I watched, I watched The Meg this past week. WTF theater. Look, it all tied in. The Meg.
Shark attacks. I thought we were cool, Brandy. That's fine.
The Meg? What?
Was it good?
You know what? It's Jason Statham. I mean,
I feel like he's way too talented.
His vehicle.
He's way too talented to play in shit movies like that. I don't understand why he's always in those. He must just take anything.
Are you really talking about Sharknado? No, Sharknado's a whole other beast.
Yeah, that's a
don't be ridiculous.
Thing.
Sharknado wasn't real. Stupid.
It wasn't
real, but there could be a megalodon.
There could be
somewhere.
There could be.
I don't know.
I thought Sharknado was real.
Yeah, it wasn't a documentary. So
when Ian Ziering had his chainsaw and dove into the mouth of the shark,
came out its asshole. There.
It was the greatest thing.
I wonder how they timed that up. I mean, you know, you'd have to get that timing just perfect.
I mean, you've got to have a well-trained shark for that, I think.
Well, and a shark that's willing to sacrifice its own life for the good of the movie.
This is true. This is true. You know, probably what it was. It was probably a dolphin that they put in a shark costume because you can train dolphins.
Oh, God.
So
dolphins are smart.
Cut off its nose. And
that's right. Exactly. Just they just cut off its nose. And then but that's a delicacy in some country. Dolphin nose is a delicacy. A lot like whale blowhole. Like, if you ever had a whale blowhole salad in some Polynesian countries, it's a big thing.
I don't even understand your words.
So what they do is they take a whale.
Nope.
They carve out where the blowhole is, and then they put a salad in it. So it's whale blowhole salad.
They put a salad in the whale's blowhole.
And the whale's blowhole, right.
But wouldn't the whale just blow it out?
There is that.
They kill the whale. They take the blowhole. They put it on a plate. And it's raw. It's served raw. And then he's putting
a super big salad too.
It would be it's a large salad. I mean, it's one of those things. It's for a couple. These, you know, it's for two.
I'm out.
What kind of salad?
I don't blowhole anything.
Is that ranch or?
I'm gonna think
it's probably be lovely.
If you're gonna do a ranch, it would probably have to be like a peppercorn ranch. I would think, right?
This is the most fucked up bullshit.
I consider myself a ranch sommelier, so. You know, I really know a lot about what ranch should be paired with. So I think a peppercorn ranch with a whale blowhole salad is really where you want to go with that.
100%. Well, you've heard it here. Go get you a blowhole salad that is the size of a Volkswagen.
I always thought of the blowhole on a whale sort of like a urethra.
A urethra. This is your body part, too. Urethra.
Yeah, I kind of think that they're like similar, a little bit different. Because
do you breathe out your dick? Do you breathe out your dick? Because you don't. You know what? You. It's not the same. It's not the same. If you are floating in the ocean and you take down your pants and your head is underwater, you still can't breathe. Because that's not how it works.
I just said it was similar, not exact.
It's not similar. It's really not.
Some men can breathe better than other men too. And it's just one of those facts of life. You just gotta get used to it.
Yeah, Brandy, you don't know what you're talking about here.
Obviously. That's my bad. That's on me.
You're a woman.
Yeah, well, having raised boys, I just assumed.
You can.
That's my bad.
You know, I'm just saying that they serve similar functions.
No. No, they don't. They actually don't. Until you start pissing out your nose, they do not serve similar functions. They're two different ends of your body. That are not meant to do the same
thing.
But
you know what I mean. Like when you get the blowhole.
No, I don't.
Stuff out. When you can blow things out of your penis.
This is true.
You don't know.
If you can blow things out of your penis.
Let me tell you something, Brandy.
You need to see somebody.
We have to deal with that you don't have to deal with.
Mm.
After men have sex, right? I'm going to break this down for you. If the Colonel was here, he could back me up on this.
We haven't even started this motherfucking story. We are far into this?
We're only 35 minutes in.
Minute.
Well, let's say.
No.
I'm just,
well,
I'm
to
just
be fair, Tim was gone for like 2 minutes. So, you know, well, 2 minutes minus that, right? So not that long.
Okay, so 33 minutes. Sure,
so
sure.
when a man is pleasuring his partner.
I've already started ignoring you.
And
I'm already not listening.
There is a climax. Sometimes the semen in a well, you know, wells have semen. Sometimes all the semen doesn't get out.
In fact, there's what's called a sperm whale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this, you know, the sperm stays in. And then when you go pee, it's really hard because you're not only peeing urine, you're peeing semen as well.
I don't think that's normal. I think you need
it's
to
not.
Pee
so that's called a retrograde ejaculation, and that requires some.
Oh my god! Why do you know that? Go to the doctor if that's your thing. Why do you know? You know what?
Every 15-year-old boy knows that. Ask Noah. He'll tell you.
I absolutely will not.
I mean, when you were 15, you wank off at least 12 times a day.
But what else are you going to do?
I mean, my kid's not. Please, can we talk about the murders?
Okay. All right. Let's talk about
Stanford. I've never someone want to talk about murder before. Jeez.
Are you kidding? Look at the alternative.
This is true.
Racial tensions ran high across the United States in the late 1960s.
There's breaking
news. With the murders of civil rights leaders such as Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the country was a powdered keg. This was especially true in Stamford, Connecticut.
Located, I feel like Stamford, Connecticut was not really a place that had a lot of unrest. I mean, it's kind of like doing a drive-by and a cul-de-sac, right? I mean, it just doesn't seem like...
It is Connecticut.
It's Connecticut.
It's Connecticut.
Located in southwestern Connecticut, about 40 miles from New York City. Today, Stamford is a relatively diverse community. It's located in an affluent state where a medium household income is $77,000, slightly above the state average, but only half that of neighboring Greenwich. 10% of the population is living at or below the poverty line. And in a state that is 71% white and only 53% of the Stamford residents are white. So, you know, Stamford at this time was not as affluent as it is today. In addition to the segregation, the education system saw schools in the white areas of town with high graduation rates, while schools in the black areas of town were terribly underfunded and resulted in high dropout rates.
I couldn't tell
if we were talking about the 60s or now. I was, you know,
right.
Yeah. I don't know. Where are we now? Yeah.
Yeah, we're really regressing quickly. To address this problem, Stamford began voluntarily desegregating schools in the early 1960s. In 1962, Stamford's Board of Education developed a plan to desegregate the district's two high schools. Then in 1967, 1968, the board created a new attendance plan to desegregate middle schools. I know you guys are too young for this, but when I was growing up, these desegregation of schools was going on, and it did not go well. I mean, there were a lot of protests from both sides.
Mostly
from the whites, though, huh?
So what was that? How old were you when that happened? Or like, what grade were you in when that happened?
I mean, the Brown versus Board of Education was what, 1954. I wasn't born then, but it didn't start actually moving. You know, things started happening till the 60s, and I clearly remember that. I remember when Dr. King was assassinated.
But I mean, like, you were like in what, second or third grade?
When this went down? It was like seven or eight, something like that. Okay. Yeah.
So you can remember black kids coming into your school that you were in.
Did that happen? No, not in Portsmouth. Portsmouth was already desegregated, but.
We only have one black kid in Portsmouth.
But there was a small area of town where only blacks lived, and
really,
you know, okay. Yeah, and if they looked for housing outside of it, you know, they weren't welcome. You know, it's a different
good old
now,
red line.
But it was. I mean, there was laws against it because the Civil Rights Act passed in 1964, but. You know, it was still very segregated. Anyway, I remember going to like the movie theaters, and they would have old signs up that, you know, white, it was like black kids had to go up to the balcony. They couldn't sit like in the lower levels. They had to go up in the back. Now, that wasn't, in fact, it wasn't being enforced then because the Civil Rights Act was already passed, but the signs were still, you know, there. They were like, you know, faded or whatever, but they were still there. So it wasn't that long ago. So these changes about school desegregation were not welcomed by the white community in Stanford, and it would soon lead to confrontations. This was the environment in the city in 1969 when young black women started disappearing. The first victim was 22-year-old Donna Roberts. She was found strangled beside this major parkway in Stanford in 1968, just 1 month after Martin Luther King had been assassinated. The late 60s and early 70s was like prime time for...
It really was. There was a lot of bad serial killers out there at that time.
Well, a lot of people still hitchhiked back in those days.
Oh, that's true.
And yeah, there were a lot of serial killers running around. Seemed like in the 70s and 80s was like the peak. When you think so, Brandy, 70 and 80s, the peak for serial killers?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
there seemed to be a lot of them. I remember my grandfather, my mom's dad, always telling me that when he was a kid, they just hitchhiked everywhere. And they didn't think about it. So this was like the 40s and 50s. I mean, today, there's no way. And every once in a while when you see a hitchhiker, you think, there's no way I'm shady. Something for that person.
Serial killer.
Totally
always.
Shady. Sus as hell. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, King's death set off racial upheavals nationwide. I do remember that. In Stanford, people shot police, threw Molotov cocktails, and set buildings on fire.
I love a good Molotov cocktail.
It depends, you know, how it's served.
Usually on the rocks is best, I feel like. Absolutely.
At a West Main Street poultry market,
shaken.
Rioters killed the white chickens and set the black and brown chickens free. The murders began on or after August the 4th, 1967. Well, I guess they did.
Oh, God.
Either they happened before, during, or after August 4th, 1967.
You wrote it.
That reminds me a lot of that wording is when the pandemic started. And there was a doctor being interviewed, and the doctor said, you know, with COVID, there's going to be a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I remember my wife and I looked at each other and went, well, no fucking shit. Just like everything else in the world, there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. Did I really need a doctor to tell me that?
But again, Tim wrote this. So I don't know. I mean, who's to blame for that?
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to myself.
Okay.
Tim has beautiful prose. It's his own language.
Murders began on or after August 4th, 1967, when 29-year-old Rose Ellen Posada, also known as Sissy Rush, I have no idea why.
Doesn't matter.
She was reported missing in Stanford. Despite the authorities' efforts, they were unable to locate Sissy until April the 4th, 1969.
Aww.
So almost, you know, like 8 months or something like that. When her skeletal remains were found.
A little bit more than that. It's like a year.
Yeah. Due to the advanced state of the decomposition, the coroner...
She was decomposed. Decompensation is a different thing.
The coroner was unable to determine her exact date of death. This murder was followed up by 21-year-old Gloria Kahn on September 8th, whose corpse was found only 60 yards away from where Donna Roberts had been murdered. Hmm. So he's on a spree here.
Yep.
The next victim was 19-year-old Gail Thompson, who was found strangled on July 10th, 1971. So, you know, we're talking, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 year span here. On August 22, 1971, the fifth and final confirmed victim, 34-year-old Alma T. Henry, was found inside a trash can by two passing motorists who were on their way to watch a football game. I wonder if they get to the game or the.
No, I'm sure they. I'm sure that they actually found a phone booth, called the police, and then went on their way.
Contacted the local authorities.
Yeah, I mean.
So you think they went? You think they went to the game?
I think that I don't care.
Do you know how much football tickets are? And I'm sure even back then they were expensive.
They were ten cents.
But I mean, really, if you're going, let's say you're going to see,
pull something out your ass and hear it.
What's that guy singing? Nope. That Josh singer, Josh Groban or whoever.
Josh Groban.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's say you were going to a concert.
This is easy.
And you found look at a trash can, you see an arm and maybe a leg sticking out.
Sure.
Do you pin that? Put a pin in that?
Well, hold on. Let me ask some context here because I don't know. Brandy, are you a big Josh Groban fan? Is that why he used that as an example?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I thought he was
maybe giving up those tickets. Just me giving up those tickets, I would do that. Yeah.
Let me say this. So in 2 weeks, my wife and I, we're flying to Las Vegas to see Kelly Clarkson in her residency, who I love almost more than anything in this world other than like my wife and my truck is Kelly Clarkson. I could find my mother in a trash can before going to the concert and I would still go to see Kelly Clarkson. So there are things that are just once in a lifetime that you just got to do no matter what.
You can clearly see how different I am from Thad. Because I would say, or at least pull it out of the way so that I could call them later after I got done.
That's what I mean. You put a pin in it on your.
You're like, this can sit for 3 hours. I'll be
back. She's already dead.
She'll still be dead.
I would call the police. I would stand there and wait.
But do you even know really if that's her? Like, if there's a body in there, it might be someone just, you know, playing a game, putting a human arm out there.
That would be the thing that I would think, too, is there's no way this is actually a
But
a
here's
person.
The thing. We're indicating that her entire body was in there. So I don't know what would be worse, somebody playing a joke with a human arm and a human leg, sticking it out of the trash can with nothing else, or, you know, the fact that her entire body's in there. So
you run the risk of missing the first quarter if you call the authorities. You could just call the authorities and just give them the information. Say, hey, I was walking by a trash can, I see a human arm, a human leg.
They're gonna want to talk to me further. I mean, it doesn't matter. They're gonna want to talk to me further if I'm gonna run to this concert right quick, but I'll stop back by on my way home. That's not going to happen. They're going to come and find you in the middle of that goddamn
concert.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
you might as well just
look,
stay.
If you don't get to the merch booths early, they can be out of the t-shirt that you want. So I totally understand needing to get there.
And you got sometimes if you don't get there early, you're not able to get the tri-blend shirts. You have to get the 100% cotton.
Oh my god, the worst. That's super worse than being murdered and stuffed in a trash can. Getting the tri-blend shirt. Fuck off. Let's just keep it going because y'all are killing me. Jesus.
All right. Well, anyway,
poor Alma. Poor fucking Alma.
She differed significantly from previous victims because she was not known to be a sex worker or have an active addiction because all the other ones were known to be prostitutes or drug addicts. But instead, she lived with her husband and four children in Southfield Village, a low-income housing project within Stamford. So there you go, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only the hookers that get murdered.
That's true. Alma's my girl.
Now, according to the investigators' conclusions, the murders ceased after Alma's death. They were quickly linked. Because, maybe he realized he did wrong and said, okay, she's not a drug addict and she wasn't a hooker. I killed her. I did something wrong. So yes. this has to stop.
Yeah, this guy had a crisis of conscience. Yeah, that's what happened. Clearly.
Because we all know that sex workers aren't actual people. So,
oh my God.
I guess that's this guy.
That's
admissible, right?
Fucking. Yeah.
I mean, Chuck is a sex worker. Just look at his OnlyFans. You know, I think he's a human. We should all respect that.
Who would buy that?
You know, women on there sell their farts.
How do you know that?
It's a thing. Look it up.
I don't want to look it up. Why would I want to look it up?
Oh, why? Google it at work. Let me just give an update here. I just received an email back that my bid for chuckspenis.com is being considered. So we will keep you abreast of that.
There will be a lot of traffic on that site, I'm sure.
No. It's going to be a big one. Tim, we're going to have to up the amount that we pay per month for our hosting, because it's going to
crash.
We need to start charging.
We used to have a website, didn't we?
Chuckspenis.com is big. It's going to be the next big thing. Chuck's Penis, the next big
gross
thing.
No, it's not. It's not. It's going to stay small.
Remember when he was the face of erectile dysfunction?
I do remember.
What?
He was the face of erectile dysfunction, and he was the face of bloody stool for a while, too. He didn't like that, man. He wouldn't let it. He got mad. He said not to use that one anymore. Because Renee's relative had colon cancer, and it wasn't funny. So we had to call. I think he just didn't like us calling him the face of bloody stool. Anyway, according to investigators' conclusions, the murder ceased after her death.
Dungeons and Dragons name, the face of bloody stool. I can get behind
it
that.
Not.
You could be a mage.
They were quickly linked together by the fact that all victims were African American and had been found within 400 meters of the Merritt Parkway. Well, yeah, I guess you could link them all together. And the fact that three of the victims, Roberts, Kahn, and Henry, had been strangled by their own brawls.
Wait a minute. Which is why
the killer received the moniker.
So Donna Roberts was not killed by her bra. Sissy Rush was not strangled with her bra.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right.
So they
but most of them were.
Was she the one cosplaying as Oscar the Grouch, the one in the trash can? Was that her?
Stop it. Never mind the fact that. Never mind the fact that. Yeah. Good detective work. We're linking together all the girls that were strangled with their bras. Like
the Stanford police, some of the best in that time. That's right.
That's
way to go.
Right.
The gumshoe work.
They're nailing it.
But Brandy, let me ask you this.
What do these murders
all have in common?
Right.
They were killed with their own bras.
They're their own bras. But Brandy, let me ask you this. If you were to be strangled, would you rather be strangled with your own bra or someone else's?
Oh, mine. I'd rather just be strangled with mine.
I feel like it's the same kind of thing.
Why is that?
Listen, because you guys don't even understand. So if you have a bra, first of all, I know what size my bra is. So, I mean, I'm definitely getting strangled. But also, like, it's my own bra, then it's my own smell. It's my own sweat. It's my own, like, I don't want to smell somebody else's boob sweat. Especially during this time.
Is it the same as your last minutes on Earth?
Do you consider it underwear?
You consider it underwear?
What I consider underwear? What
you consider bras as underwear?
They are, but they go in the umbrella of underwear. But then there are
the umbrella
of underwear. But then there's panties and there's bras. So, yeah. And some people don't like the word panty. I don't care.
Why?
So I don't know. The same reason you don't like the word moist. Who cares? But it's just a thing.
Moist panties.
And they're not cheap.
No, they're not cheap.
I do not want to smell somebody else's boob sweat. And I stand firmly at that. Firmly.
That's the hill that you will die on.
That's the hill I will die on. That I don't want to smell anybody else's boob sweat. I don't think it's that much to ask.
All right, Brandy, continue with our story.
I guess I think of myself. I, you know, the shirt that I wear. when I buy a dress shirt, I have to buy a size 20 because I have a large neck. Uh-huh. So I think to me, if someone was trying to put their tiny bra around it, I could maybe wiggle out and escape. Right?
Yeah, but you understand.
Hey, Brandy, you remember
the cuffs
back
are not the issue. What,
Brandy? You remember back when this podcast episode first started, and you said we would move quickly because Chuck wasn't here.
I know. I know you guys are just ridiculous. But listen, it doesn't matter because if somebody's like a 42A, you're fucked because it's the diameter. It's the circumference that matters.
Isn't an A small?
The cup is small. The cups themselves are small. But if somebody wears like a 42, which is all the way, this is the circumference, would go underneath. Somebody wears like a 42A, then it doesn't matter because you have the length. The cups don't mean dick. Unless you want to put it over their face.
So the cups have nothing to do with the length of the bra. The cups are just what cover the breast.
The boob holders. The cups are the boob holders.
I'm learning so much today on this podcast.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry that you know that now.
Cups are the
boob. Let me ask.
Cups are the boob holders. What?
Okay.
Do you think this guy brought his own bras, or did he use...
I doubt it. He probably used what was on hand.
Okay. I mean, but you know, some serial killers are very methodical. And
I know.
And, you know, I always had problems...
With your sports bra?
I always had problems getting bras off of women. I different, you know, that clasp at the back of it, I can never get that to work right. And it was always very awkward for me.
I learned early
the middle finger and thumb trick from my dad. You kind of squeeze, and you give it a snap, and it comes right off. And
well,
one of the
on how many
things
hooks.
I learned from my dad.
But it also depends on how many hooks she has in the back. Because
that's
you can't
well,
do,
that's true.
You can't do that if she's got four hooks back there. You would have to either
well,
do it
other,
twice.
And the other thing,
if you have large hands, you can. You can get all of them.
If you're in the back
in there,
seat of a car,
settle down.
It makes it even. Back seat of a car makes it even more difficult.
Oh, sure. Back seat, those were the days.
No, they. Oh God, they were not. Oh,
can you think? Can you think about?
Well,
now,
I mean, it wasn't that
car.
Long ago.
No, thanks. That,
I know,
because
sometimes you just can't. Uh-huh. You just can't come together.
There's no room for anything.
Well, first of all, back in the days when I would have done that shit, there were plenty of room because I was about 100 pounds lighter. I was, you know, you could fly over a backseat. Anyway, okay. So months went by without any arrest being made in the murder case. Local authorities came under increased pressure by Stamford's Black community, who accused the police of negligence due to the fact that the victims were poor Black women. I mean, yes. Some called for an internal investigation to be conducted on the city's police department and for the negligent officers to be punished on the grounds that they violated. I don't know what they violated, but they violated it.
Civil rights.
Civil rights. All right. So,
yeah, that reminds me a lot of Wolf Blitzer when he was on CNN, and he said
Wolf
they were talking
still on
about
CNN.
Yeah, Wolf Blitzer. Yeah, so Wolf Blitzer.
He's 108.
You
know
what?
He's 108.
He was talking about a hurricane. What?
I don't like that Situation Room. They make it sound like you know this. You're in the Situation Room, and then they go on to talk about I don't know, like something really mundane.
Yeah, I need a situation. Give me a situation, and I'm happy to come along. Sure. I know, but Wolf has been on CNN, Wolf, for like 100 years. So, I mean, he's fine.
He's been. And so,
but, you
he,
know,
so
he talks,
said, he, so he was talking about.
He talks
about,
to you like you're a moron.
Some people are. Thad, what? Come on.
I can't even get it out. I'm trying.
Remember,
I know,
you need to.
Because he's
remember
fucking going on about press? Whatever the fuck. What?
Remember, a candidate only needs 270 votes, electoral votes, to be elected president.
Wait a minute.
Right now, Joseph Biden has 283 electoral votes.
Okay.
That is more than the 270 votes needed.
Okay,
for
I
you.
Don't. What the fuck just happened? You got so excited. Listen, Listen.
I mean, have you ever listened to him? He talks. Listen, talks down to you.
No. Do you know what I want you to do besides put your camera up a little bit so I can see the rest of your fucking face? Is walk outside. Walk outside, look around, and then think to yourself, why would Wolf Blitzer have to explain shit? Walk outside.
No, you know what I'm saying? I know that 200. I known since I was like in the fourth grade.
You
know
it.
206.
You know it. But no, but other people don't. Other people are like, what? I don't understand. What do you mean 270 is more than
280 280 electoral votes is more than the 270 votes needed for Joseph Biden to be the next president of the United States.
I love
it. Let's say this again.
Tim's a fan. I think we need to.
I know. First of all, I love this. He sounds nothing like Wolf Blitzer, which is better because he's trying to make the face. But
I'm done with saying it.
Can I just say, Brandy, just real quick, I want to say I have a much deeper appreciation for you right now than I think I ever have before. Seeing what you put up with doing these recordings. Because I found myself doing it too, and I feel bad, but it just, you know.
Wait a minute.
You've got to deal with this all the time.
But what I want to know is, how the fuck did I get to be the straight man on this motherfucker? Why am I the one that's in charge of the fucking monkeys? Well, Tim was supposed to be in charge.
Think about it, Brandy. I mean,
I don't want to.
You can say it's me, or you can say it's Chuck. Now we got Thad here.
Oh, maybe so it's me.
Exactly.
It's me. You're right. It's me. Anyway.
You attract that sort of person.
All right, let's write the ship. Let's get back to it.
Come on, let's write the Titanic and move forward. In April of 1969, the Stamford Police. What?
I was 8 years old. That was right before my 8th birthday, and I got a guitar. I got a guitar for my 8th birthday that I never learned how to play.
I don't give a shit. Why would I give a shit about that? Why would anybody give a shit about that? I bet you if you told Leanne that, who was actually paid to give a shit about that, she would not give a shit about that.
You know,
Leanne is,
saying, more, oh,
Leanne is morally obligated to give a shit about that.
I don't
and legally
Leanne,
obligated,
if,
too.
If you're going to learn a musical instrument, learn it when you're young. I'm saying I had a guitar when I was 8 years old, and I still didn't learn it.
I'm saying, what does that have to do with these poor women getting strangled by their fucking bra?
Because you said it was in April in 1969. I turned 8 years old in May of 1969.
Oh, my God. And guess what? Oh, well, and to add to that, I wasn't born yet. Okay, so we're all good about where we are in 1969.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Just blanketly say.
I still had 11 years musical before instrument, I came.
Given a child a musical instrument, and they will learn how to play it. Because I was 8 years old,
okay,
and I still don't
parenting,
know how to play the guitar.
Parenting tips from Tim, who has no children. All right, so. In April of 1969, Tim got a guitar for Christmas that he never learned how to play. And
birthday.
And the Stamford police received a call from a man who identified himself as a preacher named James Miller. The caller then told them where they could find Pazda's remains, claiming in turn that he had been told of the location during a phone call with a man he did not know. Let's pause for thought. Let's pause for a reflection.
Well, that was before caller ID.
But, okay, so this guy just called him and said, hey, this chick is over here. Why would he call the preacher man or the son of a preacher man or whatever this fucking guy is to tell him that? Why that guy? Did he just go through the yellow pages and pick a name?
Could've.
Nah, stupid. All right, let's see. As they wanted to question him in person, really?
They wanted to reach out to a man of God.
As they wanted to question him in person, investigators compiled a list of every clergyman in the state who bore the surname Miller, which eventually drew their attention to a resident of Norwalk, a 42-year-old man, a 42-year-old white man by the name of Benjamin Franklin Miller. That is a white man's name, yes. Benjamin Franklin Miller Jr.
You know this son of a bitch has no rhythm.
Well, that, and he has three names.
Yeah. Four, if you count Junior.
Yeah.
Is Junior a name?
No, Junior is a...
it's a suffix.
Yes. He was a post office clerk and a self-ordained street preacher. Oh, my gosh. He spent most of his time with black congregations after his own church expelled him. Described by his former pastor as almost a fanatic, Miller had moved to Connecticut from Illinois at 18 years of age in 1948. Employed at the post office for 10 years, he talked religion on the job, but otherwise ignored his fellow workers, keeping to himself whenever possible.
Yeah, man, that would be annoying, you know, having a worker talk about religion, you know, co-worker talking about religion all the time.
I know. It would be just, well, you just avoid him. If he wants to keep to himself, then you just let him.
Let me tell you what happened yesterday. We bought new office chairs yesterday at Staples, and because we've had our for like 4 years. So we're like, well, we both need new office chairs because we both work at home. So we're coming out, and I see these two, and Target is right next door. And there are these two young girls just walking across the parking lot. And I'm like, okay, well, they're just coming over to Staples. And I notice they have name badges on. And they come over, and I'm kind of like looking at them, and the one stops, and she says to me, hey, would you like to come to church tomorrow? And my immediate thing that I wanted to say was, I'm sorry, I'm married. Because I thought she was trying to pick me up. And then I was like...
That would be your... Yeah, naturally, that would be what your first thought would be.
And then I was like, oh, no, they're trying to get me. But I'm like, you're just walking around trying to get people were to come Mormons? To your church.
First were of they all, Mormons? Were they
I
my
don't
people?
Know. I
were they wearing little black
Mormons.
Name tags?
There was a name tag, yes. There was a name black tag. One but name my tag? Point is, it was 100 degrees yesterday, or it felt like 100 degrees. These two women are out just walking up and down a busy-ass road. I mean, go to a neighborhood and do that if you need to. That didn't seem safe to me. Not at all.
It's not, but whatever.
And I mean, it's not like you can go to Target and cool down either.
This is true. This is or very Staples. True.
While he denied involvement in the killings, he admitted he had sex in his car with one of the victims, Gail Thompson. However, forensic examination revealed no biological traces. No biological traces or signs of intercourse on Thompson's body immediately prior to her death. But suspicions against Miller grew when he provided details about the killings, which were not known to the public. According to investigators, what do you feel?
I feel like Staples is one of those stores from the past that really should just fold.
First of all, Staples is my favorite store. I love to go to Staples.
You know, like, what was that? What was that Mexican restaurant?
Chi-Chi's.
Back in Chi-Chi's, yeah.
I like, love Chi-Chi's,
It knew when to close. And its time had passed. And I think the same is true with Staples, only they don't recognize that their time has passed.
Oh, I'm not sure what this has to do with fuck all that we're talking about, but I'm going to go ahead and keep reading so I can get to work on time. Okay.
Well, just talking about Chi-Chi's, they were poisoning people. They had had some salmonella breakout, at least the ones around here, Chi-Chi's. That's why they closed.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was all over the place or just here, but...
Was that with their nachos or...
It was in, like, the lettuce and the jalapenos and things like that.
E. coli.
So, E. coli, that's what it was. It was E. coli, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was so funny, right? Like, as soon as that came out,
I'm anti-E. coli, Brandy.
See,
you know that woman at Sue...
He doesn't like,
you know
he doesn't like hospitals.
Sue
he doesn't like E. coli. Most people like E. coli, so that's...
You know that woman at Sue
I've had E. coli.
For assault. Her name is Jean E. something.
E. Jean Carroll,
Every time I see her name, I think of E. coli.
That's great. According to investigators, once he was presented with photographs of the victims, Miller supposedly claimed that Thompson had been strangled with a handkerchief. Fuck off with that. Not a bra.
Just because it looks like the same spelling, you know.
This contrasted with what was said in the media, which stated all five had been strangled with bras. In late 1971, Ben Miller Jr., agreed to undergo a polygraph test, but the results were inconclusive due to the fact that he was fucking crazy. As a result,
never take a polygraph test. Never.
Okay. As a result, he was ordered to undergo a psychiatric evaluation, which concluded that Miller had schizophrenia. Due to this, he was interned for treatment at Fairfield Hills Hospital on February 17th. And during his internment, he exhibited symptoms of hypochondria and clinical delusions. After some time, Miller suddenly confessed to the murders to a psychiatrist and declared that he wanted to talk to investigators working on the case. On February 29th, 1972, Miller confessed to killing seven women in total. And according to investigators, he described killing Thompson in detail and indicated where three others had been dumped.
Here's what I don't understand. Why would you ever admit to killing seven people? Once you do that, that's
it.
You have, yeah, there's no room to go there as far as a plea. There's no, yeah, but I just.
People do it now. They come back from that and go, yeah, I know I said that, but I didn't mean it. This I know I confessed, but
basically, this is what happens here. Yeah.
All right. So due to this, he's arrested on March 1st, 1972. He recreated various aspects of the crime scenes on site. Due to this, he was arrested in front of the Fairfield Hills Hospital on March 18th and formally charged with five murders. He was arrested again and represented the Stamford Police Department, held a press conference to announce that they'd arrested a suspect, but declined to give details about what led to his arrest, like him showing them where the bodies were, whatever. The announcement was met with skepticism from the members of the black community in Stamford, who believed Miller was simply a scapegoat. After the arraignment, Miller recanted his confession. At the trial, his father appeared as a witness for the defense and told the court that his son called him after he confessed to the murders, claiming he was insane and that the policeman had duped him into confessing without verifying his claims. Miller.
Sad. That would be a good topic for your History to Read short. The origins of the word scapegoat.
Oh, all right. We will add that to the list.
That doesn't sound interesting. Anyway, Miller also said they used coercive tactics such as threatening to beat him.
I'm sorry, it's not as interesting about
why are you interrupting me?
About a guy becomes a warlord.
Are you kidding me? Oh my god! Really?
I watched that. That was cool.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
did you watch The Well?
No, because I'm reading this right now, and so we could talk about that. Not now. Okay. No, I've not watched The Well. If I'd watched
Brandy
The Well, I would have told
you about
it.
Laser focused on these Brawl murders, Tim. She needs.
I'm laser focused.
Yeah,
I'm not always laser focused. Take advantage of it. Let's
try
see.
To get through this.
Jesus. He also said.
I
they
just
used want
to say.
Coercive?
Also, I love your shirt, Brandy. scientific method. Fuck around, find out. That's so fantastic. It reminds me, and I think I'm going to go back and buy this hat for you for DweebCon. When I went to get gas yesterday, because buying, I think, hats at
gas station hats
is fashionable. Gas station hats are great.
I do want a gas station hat.
It said, "Don't ask me a damn thing" on the hat. And I thought, that is so Brandy.
Yeah.
I love
don't
it.
Ask me,
it says,
don't
ask me
shit.
A damn thing. So that's going to be my gift to you for DweebCon.
Oh, thank you. Just as a side note, because I don't have side notes very often, so working at Target, you have to wear a red shirt. It can say whatever as long as it's not offensive. It can do whatever. So, of course, I'm like, sweet. So I bought a couple of shirts, and I bought one that is this picture of Jesus kind of leaning over, and he says, I saw that. And so I wore it. I wore it to work yesterday. And it was like super. I mean, everybody was like, oh, my God, I love your shirt. This lady comes up and she goes, can I take a picture of your shirt for my church group? Sure. So I mean, I had on my little like Tree of Life earrings. So I mean, I was trying to go for a whole theme. But yeah, so now I can wear my little I saw that shirt anytime I want because evidently everybody loves it. So I'm very excited. Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, so Miller's saying they threatened to beat him, exposing his infidelity, make him lose his good job and custody of his child if he did not sign the confession. When pressed to explain what happened at the crime scene recreations, he said he was unable to recall circumstances of the murder and even factually inaccurate claims, despite knowing the area and expressing doubt about the investigators' conclusions. I don't even know if that made any sense, but there you have it. Miller's attorney eventually filed a motion to have his claim evaluated, with the results showing that he could not be legally held responsible for his actions due to being a schizophrenic and the hallucinations accompanying it. In February of 1973, the prosecutor's office agreed to drop two of the murder charges, with Miller eventually being acquitted by reason of insanity of the remaining three. Benjamin Miller was ordered to spend the next 25 years in a psychiatric facility and was subsequently transferred to one after his trial ended. After Miller's trial, his relatives hired lawyers who got full access to his criminal case. They studied the content and found out about the existence of another potential suspect, but this was not disclosed by the prosecutor's office at trial, and due to this, an appeal was filed. The alternative suspect was a resident of Stamford named Robert Lupinacci. Lupinacci, who was arrested in July of 1972 while attempting to strangle a black sex worker in the same neighborhood where the other victims had been found. I mean, could be a viable other suspect. Investigators learned that he spent much of his free time in the city's red light district. Who knew Stamford, Connecticut had a red light district, and was acquainted with many sex workers and pimps, despite being a known racist. So he's an all-around good guy.
Tim, in the 80s, when you were doing your pimp work on the West Side.
Yeah.
Pimping ain't easy.
It isn't. You've got to keep them in line. Did you ever see any funny business as far as, you know, guys hanging around a little too much with the women? Did that happen?
Well, you know, that's the thing. Because, you know, the thing is, some of these guys, Johns, they fall in love with the hookers. And they, you know, it's a Cinderella syndrome or something. They try to save them, right?
Gotcha.
It's the pretty woman syndrome.
Yeah, there you go.
They try to save them, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I learned.
A hoe's going to hoe, Brandy.
Yeah. And one thing I learned from Chuck's book, to Make Love to a Woman, was it taught, there was a section there.
Now in Braille.
A section on there in sex workers where I learned that you don't pay for sex. You pay for them to leave.
And that I felt is, that the God's honest truth.
That really was.
Word,
I felt that
word, Brandy, word.
Word.
There are
one
no
of those
words.
Things in life. I felt washed over, and that was the light. That's right.
You
pay for the sex, you pay them to leave.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
So, you know, pour some out for Chuck.
I can attest.
He's a brilliant man.
You attest to nothing.
You know, remember when I was with Inky, she left me a note saying that
in case
I wanted. She let me a note after, you know, after she had, you know, she
left.
Let me a note.
Left after she left.
Yeah. It said, here's my address in case you want to send me something. I'm like, I tossed that shit in the trash can.
Keep ass didn't send her anything, fucker. All right. So.
Here's my Amazon wish list in case you want to buy me something.
You have to agree on that shit ahead of time. You know, you can't say, you know.
It's part of the process.
I thought it was.
Timmy, I hope you're proud. For this entire segment, I hope you're proud of yourself. So I'm going to keep moving.
Can I embarrass yourself further?
No,
can I just
didn't.
Give a shout out? I'm going to give a shout out to the HBO show Cat House that features the prostitution house in Las Vegas. It reminds me of that.
Chicken Ranch.
The Kitty Ranch. Now I can't even think.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Oh my God. That was originally in Texas. That's where the Best Little Warehouse in Texas, that play was based upon it.
Dolly Parton.
They moved to Las Vegas.
See, I'm gonna look this Dolly up here. Cat House the series, the Moonlight Bunny Ranch. That's what it was.
It's a bunny ranch now, but it used to be
Moonlight Bunny Ranch.
Because originally, during the Depression, guys paid with chickens. When, what's his name? What was the actor?
Burt Reynolds?
Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton had to break up. I cried at the end of
it. I know. It's terrible. It's such a touching love story. Fuck off.
I got a little misty-eyed. Just saying.
Okay, are you ready? So, investigators.
They had an Asian hooker on that show, that movie.
Okay. Investigators learned that I will kill you. Get I know where you I are.
I don't know what her name was.
But okay, listen. The bodies.
Very attractive young lady. I watched that not too long ago. Leanne and I watched it.
Did ya? What happened?
I don't know if. I think Leanne got a little teary eyed.
Did she?
Yeah.
The whorehouse in Texas. Oh my gosh. Tell me more about that. I'm dying to know. Did you watch it on your computer or did you actually have you bought a television?
No, we have a TV.
You bought a TV now. Oh, okay. Great. What size is it?
The thing was, they were just.
What size is it? I mean, did you watch it on DVD or did you stream it?
They were a good corporate citizens.
Uh-huh.
They paid for the little league uniforms and everything.
They did.
And then some muckraker.
Oh, the Dom muckrakers DeLuise. Are the worst. Dom DeLuise. Jesus, Dom DeLuise.
He got on TV.
Yeah, he did.
He got on his muckraking show and said there Texas had a whorehouse in it. And it came a lot of negative publicity. Uh-huh. And Burt Reynolds, of course, was the sheriff.
Right.
Him and Dolly Parton, who was the madam.
Yeah.
They had a relationship, but he
oh
had
my
to
God, really?
Down.
Oh.
It's sad.
That is sad.
All because of Dom DeLuise.
That's so sad. I mean, Dom DeLuise is dead, so I guess they can't really, you know.
He was a muckraker.
Okay. Are we done? I just want to make sure.
That's basically the whole story.
So I've never heard the term muckraker before.
Except, you know, they had a song.
Now you've heard it 18 times.
Called Hard Candy Christmas. And my uncle claims that he wrote that song and was not given credit for it.
That could have been our fortune, That could have been our fortune.
I swear to God. He says he wrote that song.
I believe you. I mean, that's not... I mean,
I think so.
Because I do want to learn more about your theater situation there. I feel better now that I know that all of this is happening. And you guys watched it. And I think that's great. Did you have popcorn or did you bring candy? Wait a minute. Oh, wait. I got one more thing. Fuck off. I don't care. I'm watching this.
Caramel corn.
Jesus.
Leanne likes caramel corn.
Okay.
Oh, caramel corn. Yeah.
Did you make it at home or did you buy it somewhere?
No, just like a bag.
Did you make it in a pot? Oh, you bought it at Kroger. Was it microwave? Because I can make really good caramel corn.
It's already made.
Brandy, I love nothing more than you busting Tim's balls. I mean, I could be here all day for this, but yeah.
I just want to make sure when I start reading this that for the 18th time or whatever – that I can get through the fucking sentence.
Go ahead.
Aren't you just glad that Chuck's not here today to interrupt you?
It's been such a relief.
It's been a respite.
We've just plugged right along. Three bodies of the women supposedly murdered by Miller were found within 30 meters of where Lupinacci was arrested. And his car was spotted several times near the crime scene. In 1967, he was spotted in several bars on the outskirts of nearby Port Chester, New York, a place frequented by one of the victims. And employees at the Hazleton Hotel reported the following year that they had seen one of the victims staying in the same hotel as Lupinacci. The following year? They sat on that for a year? For years.
Yeah. In 1967, and this remember, this is 1971. And there were people saying they spotted him in the area in 1967. So,
yeah.
Take that with a grain of salt.
So, in 1971, Lupinacci worked at the same hotel where Gail Thompson, with whom he was allegedly acquainted, was staying. He was known to possess a heightened sex drive and was obsessed with sex, due to which he frequently viewed and collected pornography, photographs, and videos. Following his arrest, police found a pornographic deck of cards in the trunk of his car.
I wonder if it's ones where they black out the nipples. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Where the
Well, they want to keep it classy, right? They want to keep it classy.
What's the Quen of Hearts?
The Queen of Hearts. The typo.
My bad. The Queen of Hearts, notably missing. A similar card was found near Gail Thompson's body. Ooh. Are you fucking with me right now?
See, that's killer shit. Yeah.
I mean, so I think,
I mean, he deserves to get it back, right? I mean, if he's missing, you know, he's not.
How do they have poker night? And let's go back to, okay, I get it. The schizophrenic probably does need help, and they put him in the loony bin and whatever else.
For 25 years.
For 25 years, which he probably needs. But still, if he didn't do the fucking murders, you've got this guy basically sitting there, you know, throwing up flares all over the place. Look at me. I murdered. Look at me. Look at me. And they're just
maybe
like, Lupin not Chine, that guy.
Maybe he's the one that called the minister.
Maybe. Yeah. But now Thad is going to read his spot, his page, and I am going to be less rude than you.
I can't imagine.
Hold on. I need to take a moment because this is the culmination of everything right here. I'm reading on the History Dweebs podcast. I knew if I studied hard enough in school and dreams do come true. That's right. So here we are. My debut.
I mean, this is Chuck's part. So, but you know, he forgot we record on Sunday at 10 o'clock.
Well, I mean, you do change the schedule around quite a bit, right?
For the past 5 years.
Yeah, we don't actually change it. You know why we change the schedule? No. Do you know why we ever change the schedule? Because that motherfucker is late for everything. For every Sunday morning, that son of a bitch cannot be here on time. And so, yeah, if it's later, it's because of that motherfucker. Motherfucker looking like, I just got up. Bitch, you are 55 years old or whatever it is. Why are you sleeping like a teenager? Get your ass out of bed like a normal fucking adult and be where you're supposed to be. For fuck all. All right.
Well, Brandy, let him continue.
Please. I am. I'm sorry.
All right. Additionally, Thompson was last seen boarding a car whose colors and features match those of Lupinacci's car. And after discovering her remains, police found a witness who claimed that he had seen a vehicle similar to Lupinacci's cruising around area several times.
It's me, it's me, it's me. I murdered.
Turn up those flares. This guy doesn't know how to hide, obviously.
He doesn't have
Right, they didn't care. Upon searching the trunk of his car, investigators found several strands of female hair, which were later determined to belong to a black woman. And finally, he was a member of a club called the German American Club, situated in the Gray Rocks Place neighborhood of Stamford, from where Alma Henry disappeared in August of 71. So meanwhile, in 1988, the Court of Appeals accepted attorney's petition and ordered a new trial for Benjamin Miller. At the new trial, the court ruled that the confession was invalid because Stamford police had used coercive tactics during interrogation, with the judge ruling that this was likely.
Electrodes through his balls, I guess. I guess that was inappropriate.
A little bit.
They don't like that.
You know,
waterboarding.
And here's the thing. You know the cops know this, right? You know that they know if they do shit like this, it's going to get thrown out. So what are you doing?
Because everybody thinks they're slick. And think about it. Back in whenever the fuck, 1960, 70, whatever, that was a thing. That's what police did. Like, that's the whole phone book sitting in a room by yourself with a light bulb thing.
Oh, that light bulb would make me sing like a canary.
That's like, you know, I mean, get beaten with a phone book, all that stuff. That was the way they did it back then. So, yeah,
when
you know,
that light, they put that spotlight on you in the darkened room and you send in that light, man.
You know it's over with that light there. And the light swings back and forth and the shadow moves across the room. Yeah. It's all
over. Yeah. And that's not safe without a shade on it.
It's not safe. No, safety first.
And that
if you're gonna get beat with a phone book, make sure everybody's safe about it. Jesus.
You know, like if I was ever in war and I got captured, I'm telling them everything I fucking know right up front. I mean, you're not going to pull off like, you know, put things under my fingernails and, you know, pull out my tongue and all that stuff. I'm going to tell you right at beginning, right up front. Why go through all that?
So basically, learning is that we should never give Tim top secret information because
we can't take Tim to war.
No,
Tim's not good. Like a fucking canary.
Tim needs to be back in the States making nylons. That's what he needs to be doing.
Why go through all the torture?
Back here making pantyhose.
Because you know you're going to tell him at some point. So why go through all the torture? Just get it all out front, and then they let you. Then they let you go in a room and they give you magazines.
Yeah, and a sundae. They give you some magazines and ice cream when you're done.
Yeah.
They're known. They're known for that. People who have one light bulb are very much known for their hospitality. Fucking hell.
Taking into account Miller's mental health, the low credibility.
No, it depends on what kind of ice cream it is. I like butter pecan.
Have you always liked butter pecan, or did you just learn to like it as you've gotten older?
No, I learned. I was at a the Big Ten basketball tournament, and we were standing in line to get something. Me and my friend Ted, and I said, "What's that smell? It smells so good." And he said, "Oh, that's butter pecan." I was probably in my 30s. I had never tried butter pecan before.
I'm shocked by that. I'm shocked. I'm glad I was sitting down for that. You had never tried something different. Well, I'm certainly glad we got that out there. And I'm sitting down so I didn't have to fall the fuck over. So now, sad.
But now I don't give
a shit. You can eat fucking Rocky Road ice cream. I don't care.
I would.
That's a bridge too far. Rocky Road's a bridge too far. Sure. Okay. Sad. The nut job and the credibility of his confession, and he's not nuts, he's sick. But the credibility of his confession, all of this, surprisingly points toward Lupinacci's guilt. Surprise.
Leanne got me some chocolate chip ice cream by mistake, and I didn't like it.
Oh my God. Did you kick her out?
No, did you tell her to go play in traffic and hit her with a pan?
No, I mean, this sounds like, I mean, are you okay? Are you okay? Because I can see how chocolate chip ice cream could be very trying for you.
Yeah.
This is,
I'm glad you understand
me. I do. I care about this so fucking much.
So after his release, Miller was housed in a homeless shelter for the mentally ill because due to his isolated lifestyle and inability for social contact, he was deemed incapable of adapting to life in society.
Yeah,
me too. Until his death in February of 2010 at age 80.
Yeah, they put him away for so long. Only he can do is associate with nurses and other patients. He can't get the fuck out. He's been in there too long.
He has to rely on the system to take care of him.
Well, and frankly, this is probably where he needed to be if he didn't have his schizophrenia under control. And I don't know what their meds were like back then. So he was probably better off because if he goes out and is, schizophrenic all over the place, then he's going to get hurt or somebody else is.
Despite the incriminating evidence, Lupinacci was never charged and later denied responsibility in a 2011 interview. But he was forced to admit responsibility for assaulting the prostitute in 1972.
He was forced to admit that.
Well, they threatened him with taking away his cable, like Tim.
Yeah.
He just started.
Well,
they were going to have the one light there. I mean, we can't have the light, right? So,
right.
Careful.
Tim.
But I mean, he might not.
It's me. It's me. Look here. It's me. He's flinging shit up. Just look at me.
We need a disclaimer that we don't know who killed these ladies.
We don't. And it says that, actually, if you would let Thad get through his shit.
All right, Thad.
Robert Lupinacci would later marry, have children. He worked as an electrician and seemingly led a normal criminal-free life. He died in February of 2013 at age 79. George Mayer, the lead investigator for the murders, consistently continued to deny that Lupinacci was responsible and insisted that Miller was the actual killer, a belief he held until his own death in 2013. Ultimately, the real killer remains unidentified and all five cases have officially remained unsolved.
You know what's a coincidence is that Lupa Chinati, whatever that guy's name is,
this
lead investigator, they died the same year, 2013.
So that sounds shady as fuck. You think they planned
it? That's what I'm saying.
Do you think they?
I don't know. I think it should be looked into.
I think it should be looked into too, but not today.
So, maybe it was like a suicide pact, right?
What's your final thoughts on the bra murders?
Well, on the bra murders, because there was no brawl. Jesus.
Should I have called it the Brazier murders?
You don't have to call it the Brazier. Anyway. I think the Lupinacci guy should have been looked into first and further. He could not. He did everything but send up flares.
Well,
he wasn't hiding.
The lead investigator said, you know, he has more information than you do, the lead investigator, and he said that guy didn't do it.
Okay, so first of all, you should have had access to that information. Did you look at it?
I started to, but then I got distracted.
Sure. Okay. So I'm going to go with that the Robert guy who's sending up flares that he did it, actually did it, and just basically got away with it.
But
I also think that
it could have been someone we don't, I mean, it could have been someone else besides these two.
It could have, but I feel like, I mean, the thorough work that you do researching.
So you're saying that's your own opinion.
Well, you asked me what I thought about it, and so I told you, which is make it my own opinion.
But so, we don't know who actually came.
Sure. Okay, so that's what I think about it.
And Thad, what's your final thoughts on the bra murders?
Bra.
The over-the-shoulder boulder holder murderer? I really got to agree with Brandy. I think the first guy, I mean, again, he was just dropping all kinds of hints. And he was in plain sight, and the cops were just like, "Oh, what's going on?" You know, and this other guy, you know, maybe involved, maybe he killed that one, but I think it's the original dude. I really do. And I just got to say,
so you think it was the schizophrenic?
I think it was the schizophrenic
minister.
I do.
Street preacher.
And I think
I don't think
just
he
someone
was schizophrenic.
You don't think he was schizophrenic?
See, I think it's someone totally different.
Oh, okay. I think
you want him to.
Then why didn't you put that in there? You fucking jack wagon.
I like for our listeners to come to their own conclusion.
This is true.
Well, but if they don't have all the information, how can they do that?
We report, you decide. That's okay. What it is here.
Well, and I think it was the Lupinacci guy. So there's that.
Well,
also, I just want to say this because this came up in a previous podcast and I meant to look it up and share, but Sylvia Plath's name came up. Tim was talking about Sylvia Plath.
She put her head in the oven.
In an oven and killed herself.
Yeah.
And
a guy named Ted. But she had two.
There were two Teds, right? And we no one really knows who it was. But the Ted that she was with, like publicly, his next wife also killed herself by putting her head in an oven. So think about that. Yeah. You're with two women. Both of them killed themselves by shoving their head in an oven. Maybe it's you. Maybe you need to look at your own self.
Or maybe he's got a type.
Maybe. I dig crazy chicks. That's right. Crazy chicks are fun. No doubt about that.
They are for a while.
Yeah. But also, let me plug our other ventures. We have our TikTok channel. So if you go onto TikTok and look for History Dweebs, also our What the Fuck Theaters from Brandy and our HD Shorts are on YouTube. So go to YouTube and look for History Dweebs. And we put out regular content on both of those. So go check them out.
Yeah, Thad does a great job with that. Brandy does a great job with it. So check them out. We also want to remind everyone that September is nearing, Brandy. And of course, at the end of September, we have DweebCon here in Cincinnati.
Yes.
So if you would like more information, we got hotels that give special rates. And it's always, we always have a live show that's no cost to you, but you can come and meet other dweebs like yourself. It's the week
weekend of September 22nd here in Cincinnati. And to find out more information about DweebCon, just come to the Fans of the History of Dweebs podcast group on Facebook, and you'll get all the information you need. We would love to see you at DweebCon. Also, we would like to thank all of our supporters on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or Brandy.
A wee little bit.
Yes. And we would like to thank our newest supporter, Wool Hat, who's been with us for a very long time. We thank you, Wool Hat, for your contributions to us on Patreon. Again, we're sponsored this week by Black Cat and Me for all your home care, home decor needs. Go to Black Cat and Me on Etsy.com. Use code DWE15 and receive 15% off all of your purchases.
Yay!
Are we done here?
We're done here.
Are we done? Mm. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There's nothing open at 2 in the morning but legs and White Castle.
I mean, it's kind of like doing a drive-by and a cul-de-sac.
That is a social faux pas.
I don't give a shit. Why would I give a shit about that? Why would anybody give a shit about that?
Remember when he was the face of erectile dysfunction?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.